searching through many commentaries, and then finally spending hours, you come up with your lesson. And you might even have forgotten what it was like as a novice. And when you reach that state of so-called experiential maturity, the danger of self-confidence and leaning upon self is very real. When you look at some of these kings, they started so well, and then you ask yourself, what happened to them? One of the kings thought he was so good and so great that he dared to enter the temple to do the work of the priests. The priests assembled themselves together to resist him and to rebuke him and to stop him and to tell him to get out. He was so angry that he wanted to kill them. The Lord afflicted him with a painful disease. All he needed to do was to humble himself and repent. And I believe that painful disease chastisement would stop. But he resisted for, if I remember correctly, 2 whole years until he died. He sought all physicians to cure him when all he needed was to repent, but he refused. He died in great pain. Can you imagine that? Why? I'm a great king. I've accomplished so much for the Lord. How could I be wrong? Could I not also do the work of the priest since I did the work of a king? The Lord will not permit that kind of crossover ministry. What belonged to the priesthood remains with the priesthood only. That's why priest could not be king. King could not be priest. That is why the Lord spent chapters 5 to 10 of Hebrews to demonstrate why Jesus Christ was a legitimate king and also our great high priest. It was something the Jews could not accept and reconcile because it was forbidden in the Old Testament. That's why the Lord said, Christ's priesthood was not of the Aaronic line. If he had been of the Aaronic line, that would apply. But he was of the lineage of Melchizedek, who was both king and priest. And therefore, it was also acceptable to God, and it must be acceptable to all you Jews. Pride is a very dangerous enemy to our own ministry. And with confidence, and if you are a great blessing, it's even worse. Because people are going to talk a lot about you, people are going to say a lot of things about you, and they don't mean any ill will. They are very sincere because you really have been a blessing to them. And so they will share it with others, and they will tell it to others, and very soon it will reach your ears. And then who doesn't like to be well spoken of, isn't it? Wow, you come to this class, this teacher is so excellent. He really makes the Bible come alive. Every time I listen to him, I love the Bible. I love the Lord more. And I always wish to attend this teacher's class. And I can't wait for the teacher to come and teach again every month. And it will reach your ears, or the preacher. And it will result in pride if you do not know how to handle these kind of praises. They are not telling lies. They are very sincere and genuine. They really did not mean any ill will toward you because you have been a blessing to them by the work and the will of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the only way to protect yourself from this danger is to know that it is God's work entirely. Not even 99.9% God's work, 0.1% your work. It's all of God's work because you and I must never forget we are like a broken instrument in the master's hand. And even though we are broken instruments in the master's hand, the master is the key that can bring blessing to people's lives. And as long as you remember this, all praises, you just simply, sincerely, humbly redirect them all to God. All the time. Every time you hear this kind of praises that come to your ears, just redirect them to the Lord and tell the people if they are within your earshot, praise the Lord, give glory to God. I'm just an unworthy, unprofitable servant. The Lord is the real person who has blessed your heart. Give him the praise only. Sincerely, because that's the fact, that's the truth. And that will protect you from this very dangerous moment of your life because you know what's the next step after pride? The fall, right? The pride comes before the fall. And you don't want to fall in the evening years of your life, because there is absolutely nothing you can do to repair the damage that you do to your own holy testimony that you spend decades to build and be a blessing. And all could just simply go out the window by one moment of prideful foolishness. So be very careful, all of us who are my age group. I just turned 70. So my age group, 70 and above, be very careful. You retired in so many areas of your life, don't ever retire from protecting your holy witness. The danger is always there. The devil is a roaring lion, always watching, waiting, seeking whom he may devour. And we would be the prime candidate. You attack a young person, he repents, he has the rest of his life to repair and rebuild his testimony for Christ. And the damage that he did, only a few years of ministry, only a handful of people were aware of his testimony, and his fall will only drag down and stumble a handful, which he could repent sincerely and beg for forgiveness, and it will be repaired. But we don't have the time, nor the strength, nor the energy to rebuild what we tear down ourselves. Don't forget that. No one can cause you to sin except yourself. Not even the devil. Number two, which areas of your life do you hate the most? And then which area of your life do you hate the least? The areas of my life that I hate the most is my struggle against temptation, because I kept losing. Because I'm not perfect. You may win and succeed over this terrible temptation for a few weeks, a few months, but then lo and behold, you thought that you are very comfortably conquered this terrible transgression, you stumble. It's as if you now fall back to square one, like the snake and ladder game. You know the snake and ladder? You climb, 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 nearly, nearly at the top, and then there's this very long snake at the top of the line, reach, bring you all the way back to the bottom. And then you hit it, you come back down, and you start all over again. It's as if those past few weeks and months where you succeeded in conquering that temptation never happened, because you succumb. And now you start all over again and beg God and lean upon the Lord, knowing that all things work together for good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. And so the Lord knows. And if this continue on, probably you end up full of pride and self-confidence. And so the Lord allow us to stumble and fall and repent and learn from it again. And at the same time, teaching us to also be very compassionate, patient and humble in helping others who are also struggling with sin. And you never do it from a pharisaical high pedestal as if you don't sin and you don't fall. And you and I know that we also struggle. And so when this brother is struggling, you can approach this brother and you can comfort and counsel him sincerely with patience and long-suffering and a lot of understanding. Because you know how he's struggling, you know how he feels, and you know how weak he is, because you are just as weak as he is. Isn't that the spiritual blessing? To teach us to be more understanding and more empathetic, to be in someone else's shoes when they struggle. Your transgression may not be as public as his, but nevertheless, it is still a transgression, isn't it? So this is what I hate the most. And so when the last trump sounds and we are all glorified, this is what I'm not going to miss, because we'll no longer be able to sin in glory. But right now, in this mortal flesh, even though we have the strength from the Lord to dominate, to not overcome the dominance of sin, but sometimes sin will still have the upper hand. But nip it in the bud the moment it begins in the inner man, so that your outward manifestation of your testimony for Christ is protected, because sin did not manifest itself, because you stop it before it comes out of your mouth or your life by action. All right, that's how you protect yourself. Which area of my life do I hate the least? Strange question, isn't it? Hate the least should be loved the most, isn't it? What I hate the least? Well, it will be my relationship with my wife. I wish to be a better husband with age. You know, This is our 40th anniversary. Got married in 8685, 8th of June, 1985, 8685. So now it's 2025. June, we just celebrated our 40th anniversary with our family and our two grandchildren. But I wish I could be a better husband to my wife. But still learning, still struggling, because both of us are changing and evolving. You know what that means, right? Husbands who are in the 70s and 80s, we can't remember very well. We can't hear very well. We can't see very well. You know that kind of thing? And so when the wife says, I told you, you didn't tell me, now I couldn't even remember, you know. You didn't say, I did tell you. I told you so many times, you know, go there and buy this vegetable. I didn't hear. And come back, no vegetable. So, today is no vegetable. Tomorrow maybe no chicken. Or buy the wrong, should be chicken, I bought pork. You know that kind of thing? These are the things I hate the least, because it's trivial things, but these are the trivial things that, you know, bite, you know, nibble at our feet, you know, our ankle, that kind of thing. But with age, can't see properly, can't hear properly, can't remember properly. And so many, many things, just have to be patient and sometimes just apologize, apologize, apologize is the best way, isn't it? Instead of saying, I don't know, I didn't hear, I don't know. Just say, I'm so sorry, dear. You want me to go back and buy? I will go and buy now. What else can I say? What else can I do? Because I don't want to end up quarreling over wrong vegetable or chicken or pork and so on. We are too old already. We are old enough. Not many years left together. If the Lord tarries, I pray and hope that both of us will be raptured together. All right? So cherish every moment, every minute that we can have together. Because as you age, those times are no longer measured in terms of years. You measure them in terms of months. I think like for me, 70. Maybe for those in the 80s, maybe you measure in terms of what? Days together? Days together. Because I've heard of people who go to sleep and don't wake up. Right? Measure in terms of days. And so why get upset? Why quarrel over? Why just apologize? And then peace, return. Happy together again. Hold hands and walk on. Right? Don't walk in front, walk behind. Upset. Right? Side by side, hold hands. Correct? Better, right? Or walk in front, walk behind better. Which one do you prefer? We are not young anymore. So this is what I hate the least. This still cannot be perfect couple with age. I thought so many years of marriage, 40 years should be better, isn't it? But still got a little bit here and there, that little bit of tweaking here and there. Are you walking in the footsteps of Christ in all areas of your life, trying to? So study the Bible, how to be a godly husband, godly father, godly grandfather now to my two precious little grandchildren. And then I begin to realize and learn that there are very few Bible verses in teaching grandparents how to be grandparents, you know. And so I just make up my own. Grandparent will spoil grandchildren. Okay, that's all right. Make it up. I don't know. I don't know what to do because I try to get angry with my grandchildren, you know. I just can't find it inside my heart, you know. Because there was one time when my granddaughter was only 2 years old and she did something wrong at the dining table and she held something, I passed her, she threw it on the floor. My daughter looked at me. Scold her. With her eyes, So I scolded her. You cannot do this. And she looked at me, my granddaughter. One big giant teardrop came out of my eye. Grandpapa, I'm very sad. How to scold some more? So I bend down, pick up the toy. Don't do it again, okay? And that's it. How to scold? Grandpapa, I'm very sad. One giant teardrop, you know. Where did all the harsh, strong discipline that I had for my three children gone to? It disappeared. I tried to bring it out of me, you know. When I look at my two grandchildren, it didn't come out. So I think grandparents, correct? You have the same feeling, huh? Now, you see, now these are the new young grandparents, they understand, you see. Before they were grandparents, they look at me, they shake their head. What kind of grandparent? And now they become grandparents, they understand, huh? Benson, huh? Ah, see, now he joined my club. He won't get upset anymore. So I try. So study and search the scriptures, all areas that the Lord has given to me. I can't honor my parents anymore, as you know, they are no longer around. And so I look at all areas of my life. I try my best to be the best pastor to the congregation, to be the best teacher of God's word, the best preacher of God's word, study, pray, and then whatever areas to be the best brother to my siblings, to the best uncle to my nieces and nephew, share the gospel with them whenever I can, and then try to invite them to gospel meetings, Christmas, and so on through WhatsApp. And sometimes there's this e-track of the gospel I will send to them with much prayer, asking them, please, look at this video, hoping that they will watch it, listen to it, and be safe. Because I want them to be in heaven. I want to share the gospel with them. And sometimes relatives, brothers, very difficult. Very difficult. Because it carries a lot of baggage. My siblings, they knew what I was like when I was growing up. And now, very hard for them to erase that awful image of me growing up. Very naughty, very willful, very, very stubborn. So very difficult to share the gospel with them. The younger siblings may be easier. The older ones, harder. Because they were older than me. They saw what I was like. My younger ones, they're too young to see and remember what I was like. So still trying to reach out to them. These are the areas that I try to share the gospel with them. And with God's people, try my best to teach them God's word, to visit them, to do what I can to help them grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking in the footsteps of Christ, keep studying the Bible, never stop studying the Bible because with age, I forget. So I keep studying, praying God to protect my mind so that I will not forget. I can forget other things where I park my car. Please, Lord, don't let me forget the scripture. So this is how I walk in the footsteps of my Savior. I'm sure all of you will have your own areas of ministry and different stages of your life, and you will walk differently, but all must be done according to scriptures. And with the passage of time, some area of our life will be over, and some areas of our life will be new, just like I can't honor my mom anymore as a Christian. She's gone. But now I have a new ministry, how to help my children look after their children, or my daughter to look after her children, right? That is my duty now, to help her. Okay, so your life will evolve and change. Some addition, some subtraction, but whatever it is, search the scriptures, and the Bible will be the lamp unto your feet and the light unto your path. Thank you.